Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now on Thursday at 1 o'clock, as he always does, is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate hearing from you, and I want to get all of your thoughts on the absolute craziness that has transpired over the first couple of rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but first, I want to highlight what's going on here locally. No news on John Hines, on Barry Trotz's decision to either bring John Hines back next season or move on from John Hines. What percentage chance would you give it that John Hines is the Predators head coach in the 2023-24 season?
Yeah, you're not going to trap me on that one this week, Carolyn. And the reason is, because you know what? If it was Coyle, I think I'd have a better read on it. I think because it's like, I always look to see like what a person's history is. One of the great sayings I really like is the best predictor of the future is past history. And with David Poile, you kind of had an idea about the way he thought about things. Barry Trotz, you don't have that. And I think that's what's the most challenging thing here. I think for a lot of us who are looking at it from outside is that there's no frame of reference in terms of what Barry's done in his past with these kinds of decisions to base what he could do. So I have a really difficult time predicting it. And like I was kind of looking, like I did a little bit of homework, Carolyn. I knew I was coming on this week and I was kind of looking around. And the only thing I got told at this time was don't assume anything one way or the other. So I think that clearly they're weighing all their options. And, you know, I'll tell you this. This doesn't necessarily pertain to Nashville, but you mentioned the draft lottery, and I think there are some teams who are putting off some of their coaching decisions in terms of who they might interview and who they might hire based on where they pick. Like I had one team, and they said you can say it was a team, but you can't say who it was. Their coaching decision in terms of who they interview could be affected by whether or not they get the number one pick. And he said to me, we're not the only team thinking that way. So I'm not saying that Nashville is doing that, but what I am saying is that I think it's possible, I would underline the word possible, that some of these teams wait to see how the lottery turns out.
Elliot, too, you brought this point up, which I think is worth elaborating on once again for those that are just wondering now that we are, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later from right at the end of the season. You said going into the last year of your contract, the history would show that that part of it is probably going to need to be addressed, right?
Yes. In most cases, I will say this, not all, but most, teams don't like coaches going into the last year of their deal. They think it, and I know coaches feel very strongly about this, they feel it undermines their credibility in the locker room. Now, I don't know if John Hines feels that way. I don't know if the Predators feel that way. But I do know that there's, like, for example, one of the reasons I think that Lou Lamoriello made the coaching change in New York with Barry Trotz was at the time he wasn't sure it was the right move to extend Trotz, and he didn't think that was the way. He generally doesn't feel that's the way to run your team. So not every team feels that way. But I know a lot of teams do, and coaches definitely feel that.
So, Elliot, another team that everybody's kind of watching is the Rangers. The huge fallout of not winning in the first round, although there seems to be four or five teams every year that put a lot of eggs in the basket, come up short in the first round, and everybody's freaking out, right? But Gerard Gallant, if you look at his track record, he's been a really good winning coach. But just listening to you and Merrick on your podcast, you really think there's a chance that they could make a change there?
Well, did you see Gallant yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Like, he kind of had a little lecture for everybody, right? Just like, why am I sitting here like this?
You know, like D-Mace, if Gerard Gallant was a football player, he'd be Sam Gash. He'd be that fullback who people don't notice him, but he's killing guys all over the field, right? Like, that's the way Gerard Gallant is. He's not a really outspoken, loud guy, but he's, he, like, I've told this story before. I did a coaching clinic with him once. He doesn't say a lot of words, but I said to him, what makes you angry? And he goes, when we get pushed around. He does not like it when his teams get pushed around. So that's his mentality. Like, he hears everything that's being said. And I've heard the rumors, too, that they were gonna let him go if they won, and I think if they lost. And I think there were times during the season the Rangers considered letting him go and looked around what was out there. And, you know, he's not stupid. He's aware of what's going on. And he came right out and he faced it head on. He called it a joke. He says, like, I can't believe that this is what I have to deal with, and these are the questions I have to answer. Now, I do think the Rangers are considering it, but I think one of the issues with this whole story is I think the Rangers don't feel that they can just put anybody in there. I think they feel they have to have an experienced hand, a firm hand, and, you know, a lot of the conversation is around Joel Quenneville, and at this point in time, Quenneville is not yet cleared to return to the NHL. He has to have a hearing with the league. So I don't think anybody really here knows what that storyline is going to be, but I do think it's something the Rangers have considered. I just think they're looking at it and saying, hey, we better make sure we have a good plan here if we're going to do that.
The Quenneville thing is fascinating to me, Elliot, because it sounds to me like he has to reapply or apply for mm-hmm. reinstatement. So what is that process like? I don't know too many guys in hockey who have had to go through a process like that.
It's different. Basically, you'd have to meet with the commissioner, and the commissioner would have to approve him being eligible for a job. I don't have a good handicap on that one way or the other. I do know that, basically, for those of you who are unfamiliar, the Chicago Blackhawks went through a really awful situation about a year and a half ago, where a number of people from the organization were punished because of it, and they were told they were, I don't know if even suspended is the right word, but they couldn't work in the NHL until they were reinstated. And two of those people were the GM Stan Bowman and the head coach Joel Quenneville at that time. Both of them have been doing work with groups away from the ice to get a better understanding of what they should have done better. And, you know, I know Quenneville recently spoke to the coaches in the American Hockey League about what he learned. And I know he's going through some courses and some classes on God forbid you ever have a situation like that again, but, you know, what to do in those situations. And he would like to coach again, I believe. I think there's teams who are interested in having him back, but he has to be reinstated after a meeting with the commissioner. And at this time, that hasn't yet happened. I would assume they're going to meet. I don't think they want that storyline going around in the playoffs too much, but I do think they will meet at some point this year, and they're this season before it ends or around the time it ends to go through this. So we'll see what the commissioner has to say.
It's interesting, and whether it's the Rangers or anybody else, that a guy, we're talking about one of the more decorated coaches in history, but this was a major, mm-hmm. major story when it mm-hmm. went down, and we're not that far removed. You know, there would be a ton of people, probably, Elliot, that would be mixed, right? Some would be like, hey, he's sat out for a while. At some point, a guy deserves a second chance, and others would say, we don't want this guy to be our coach. So you would think, a team to be interested has to be prepared, the PR part of it, and all those things you just said. What has Joel Quenneville been doing behind the scenes? Those will be important questions to be able to answer.
No question about that. That's true. And, you know, the one thing is I've read the report. I know what it says. We've never heard from him. And, I think people would just want to know what he has to say about what happened then and what he's done now. I think everybody recognizes that no matter what he says, there are going to be people who are going to say no second chances. And there are going to be people who say second chances. So you definitely have to be prepared for it if you hire him. And, you know, I suspect that if the Rangers do that or anybody else does that, they're going to know that.
Do you think the Tampa Bay Lightning will re-sign Tanner Jeannot? And what's their budget to be able to do that?
Well, they don't have a lot of cap room. They have a bunch of players who are getting raises this year. They signed Mikhail Sergachev to an extension last year. He gets his raise this year. They signed Eric Chernak to an extension last year. He gets his raise this year. They signed Anthony Cirelli to an extension last year. He gets his raise this year. So that really eats into their flexibility. They don't have a lot of it. Now, the one thing I would say about the Lightning, and you guys saw with Ryan McDonagh, is that they make very difficult decisions. And they're not going to rebuild. They're going to try to come back and contend next year. So if they feel that there's hard decisions they have to make, they will do them. I felt badly for Jeannot. He got that injury, and he was just not the same. He tried to come back in the playoffs. Well, he did. He came back for a couple games. But you could see he just didn't have it. Like, his body wasn't fully healed. And so the ankle. So, I mean, put it this way. I think when you guys still had him, you guys were trying to talk about like a Colton Sisson style deal for him.
Right.
And I think I think Jeannot's number was above that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lightning try that, but they don't have a lot of flexibility to do it. And so I can't give you as certain an answer as I want to give, but I know that's kind of the market for him.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Took a very bold stance. I asked you, the Bruins or the field? You took the Bruins, and man, oh man, what an epic upset in the first round of the playoffs. Surely Boston fans weren't bothered at all by that, were they?
Well, I have to tell you, Carolyn, when that happened, I remember I said that to you. And like I said, first of all, I said, who do I feel worse for? Patrice Bergeron or myself, when I go on with you this week? And who do you think is happier, Matthew Tkachuk or Carolyn, when she knows she gets to rub it in my face? I mean, I'm as astonished as anybody else is. I think, to me, honestly, Carolyn, the biggest shocker about that was that as that series got deeper into it, it was the Panthers who looked like the veteran team that had been through it before, and the Bruins really looked nervous. I was really blown away by that. In the overtime of Game 7, the Panthers went out there like, we're going to win. And the Bruins were out there like, we can't screw this up. And I just don't think you can play a Game 7 overtime like that. And I think that's one of the reasons they lost.
Not rubbing it in your face in the slightest, Elliot. I was just as shocked as you were. Trust me. Elliot, always appreciate chatting with you. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, Elliot. You too. Coming up next, we'll react to that. Plus, just because something is illegal doesn't mean you should do it. And should the NHL change their mindset toward that? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ville, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.